Guys, I'm Jenna.
And I'm Gianna.
And this is One in Five,
a podcast about mental health. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to One in Five. I'm Gianna. I use she, her, hers pronouns.
And I'm Jenna. I use she, her, hers pronouns as well.
Today, we are so excited to be able to interview a lovely friend of ours, Drew. Before we get into this episode, we do want to make everyone aware that we will be briefly mentioning or discussing topics such as self-harm, self-medication, suicidal thoughts, and addiction.
And with that being said, please put your own mental health first and proceed with caution when listening to this episode. So Gianna and I both know Drew from a local community theater where we acted with them for years. In the beginning of their junior year, they began attending an arts boarding school, and that's where they first began experiencing serious signs of depression.
Yes, so before we get started, we do want to give you a quick definition of major depressive disorder, which is what Drew has. So according to the National Institute of Mental Health, depression is a common but serious mood disorder. It causes severe symptoms that affect how you feel, think, and handle daily activities such as sleeping, eating, or working. So that's a pretty basic definition, but in today's episode, we are going to go much more in depth and talk all about depression with Drew.
Data has shown that depression rates are highest among kids 12 to 25, so it does move into young adults, but nobody over the age of 25 has a depression rate higher than 10%.
All right, so now we are going to go ahead and get into the interview with Drew and talk all about depression and how it has affected them. All right, Drew, so if you want to go ahead and get started by introducing yourself, that would be amazing.
Hi, I'm Drew, and my pronouns are they, them. I'm an actor, I'm an artist, and I love pasta, and I also have major depressive disorder.
Oh, wonderful.
So, Drew, can you tell us about the first times that you began experiencing symptoms of depression?
Yes, the first time I started feeling symptoms of depression was after my grandma had died, and I was feeling worthless and sad and tired all the time. I was also really suicidal at that time, and that was about ninth grade. I was about 14 when the first symptoms of depression, and I've always been predisposed to it because people in my family have had it. And also, people in my family have had trouble with addiction, which I struggled with.
Oh, wow.
So, Drew, I know you've talked to us about how your depression has kind of come and gone. It's come in phases. And recently, you experienced a new phase. Your depression resurfaced while you were at boarding school. So, if you want to talk to us about that, when that occurred, what that was like, that would be amazing.
So my depression resurfaced in 2019 in the fall. I was having pressure from every situation, and I just felt like I was going to crack at any moment. I was in a really serious relationship at that time. My mom missed me a lot, and so she was pressuring me to communicate with her. I had schoolwork out the wazoo. It was a lot. And physical pressure, because I had to run a 5K for a grade. I had to get it in under 30 minutes, otherwise I would get an F, which is kind of insane, but I was at a boarding school, so I was away from home. It was really intense, and I felt trapped, and my emotions started creeping in at the same time, and it was just not a great situation for me.
Would you please share with us what you did to cope while experiencing these symptoms of depression at boarding school?
Right. So what I did was not good. And I totally recommend not doing it at all. I started self-medicating. I mean, with all kinds of drugs. I did so many drugs. I drank NyQuil. And when that wasn't cutting it anymore, I would harm myself. And in various different ways. I won't go into it because I don't want to like give people ideas. I want to say that I did struggle with addiction for a really long time. I'm still seeing counselors for it. I was addicted to pills, which is like benzos, pills that make me feel sleepy, that make you feel high. I still struggle with it. I don't have access to them anymore, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I was addicted to nicotine for a very, very long time. It's really important to also know that you will get better. There is life without this thing. I just wanted to say that really quick. I had really, really horrible coping mechanisms despite having therapy.
Right. So eventually these symptoms got very serious for Drew, and Drew decided to go home from boarding school for a few days and take a little break. And because this boarding school is local to where Drew lives, they were able to go home and take a break pretty easily.
Leaving school actually was really helpful for me. Like, not in my studies, but that's okay because you have to take priority for yourself. It actually helped a lot for me to just step back, gain some perspective, and just do things for myself instead of being at the beck and call of all of my teachers, for all of my relationships, even not just like romantic, like friendships I had to maintain. It was insane. It did help me to take breaks.
And then
after those few days, Drew did go back to the boarding school for about 3 weeks until they were eventually called into an emergency therapy appointment by their mom.
I left for like half of a week and came back for 3 more weeks. I left because I was so overwhelmed to the point where I felt like I was going to break. And then we had an emergency therapy appointment because my mom had found all of my drug paraphernalia and things of that sort. And she called me into my therapist appointment and confronted me about it. And I was like, well, now's as good a time as ever to tell about my self-harm to my therapist. And she was like, you are not safe to stay by yourself, and you need to see a doctor about this, and you need to be admitted to the mental hospital.
Oh, wow.
Do you mind describing your experience in the mental hospital and everything you experienced there?
I was there for 9 days. I was there from October 25th to November 3rd. So the mental hospital is a lot of group therapy, which in my opinion isn't that effective. But I guess if you're with strangers who are telling their story, it's helpful to open up to people you wouldn't expect to open up to. I met a lot of very interesting people, and it just proved to me that it doesn't matter who you are. Depression and anxiety and all other mental illnesses will affect random people, and it doesn't matter where you come from, who you are. And I just thought that was really important for me to learn because I felt really guilty. Because, you know, nothing bad has ever happened to me. Why do I feel like this? It was helpful in a way to see that it wasn't my fault and that people from all walks of life can be affected by bad mental health. The mental hospital was also a wake-up call for me. It was a culture shock. And I realized in there, because what I had done was I had taken plastic utensils from the cafeteria because I didn't have metal ones, obviously. And I'd taken plastic ones and hid them in my room and was using them to self-harm. And one of the nurses found them. And she confronted the entire group and was like, this is not why you're here. You're here to get better. And that's when it hit me that I can't be fooling around anymore because this is my life and I have to get better for me. There's no other way.
Wonderful.
It was a shock coming out from the mental hospital into the real world where I wasn't being watched 24/7 because in the mental hospital, someone checks on you every 15 minutes, like even when you're sleeping, like someone opens the door, checks on you, shines a flashlight in your face to make sure you're breathing, and then leaves every 15 minutes. I hate to compare it to video games, but it's kind of like a video game where you're used to, like, having, like, Pac-Man. It's a set world that is constant and consistent, and then joining a game like, I don't know, like World of Warcraft, where you have free reign, you can do whatever you want. And it was like that. It was like a shock. But I was helped through it, and, you know, I made it out.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much for
sharing that.
I know that you've talked to us about how your stay at the mental hospital really helped you realize that you had to put in the work to get better. So when you did go home on November 3rd, how did you start putting in the work? And what were your healthier coping mechanisms and strategies that you started using?
That's a really good question. My therapist has this thing called distracting. So anything you can do to get your mind off of your urges is really helpful. So I would watch my favorite TV show, which is Breaking Bad. And it's also a thing, watching Breaking Bad, is a thing called comparison, where you watch things or experience things that are worse off than you. That sounds so cruel, but it works. Because Breaking Bad, if you don't know, is obviously about a teacher who has lung cancer and is a meth cooker. Like, he cooks meth. And his life is just way worse than mine, and so it helped me to always watch that. And also, self-soothing techniques are really helpful, like taking a hot bath or a shower or a cold shower. It's a shock. And lighting a candle, drinking a warm beverage, whatever your preference is for that. Listening to your favorite record, that always helped me to calm down. I listened to the Nutcracker. Something to help with my urges to, like, self-harm is things, like, that are a shock to your system. So, like, holding ice or rubbing ice on my forearm would always help me. Going for a run to distract myself is always helpful. Of course, I wasn't allowed to go for a run by myself, but my mom would follow me in her car. So, my support system was absolutely incredible. I could not have asked for a better parents, I guess. But I couldn't have asked for a better therapist, better friends. It was really incredible. And obviously everything in my house was, like, I like to call it suicide proofed. So, like, no scissors, no knives. We still haven't found the knives because my mom hid them so well. Like, all the kitchen knives are gone. So I have used a pocket knife to, like, cut fruit, but it's okay.
So. Once you came home from the mental hospital, what was your process like in figuring out what came next in terms of schooling?
The decision was to go back to the boarding school, but that ended up not working out at all because at the time I wasn't able to complete schoolwork. I couldn't focus on it. I was getting stressed and I was really depressed all the time, so I had no motivation to finish anything. The hard decision of my life was made not to go back to the boarding school, and that decision was made in January of 2020. I decided to go to public school again, and that was another culture shock because I'm used to online school, but we quickly transitioned back to online school because of COVID.
Yeah.
Cool. So now we just wanted to ask you a little bit about how you're doing now.
Okay. So I want to emphasize the point that progress isn't linear. Sometimes you will fall back on yourself, and I know I did several times, and you just have to trust the process that you're doing it for your future, you're doing it for your present, and not your past. Yeah, I really want to emphasize that. And I'm doing really well today. I am heavily medicated, and that's helping. But also, like I said, my support system is better than I could ever hope for. And it's also a me thing. Like, I'm there for myself 24/7. Obviously, I can't really escape. But I'm glad that I am. And I'm so happy that I'm better. I'm not, like, cured, you know, but it's infinitely better than it was. Yeah, I'm really grateful to everyone who helped me, even people who would just check in randomly. You know, it's really important to check in on your friends and family. Even if you think that they're all right, they might not be. So it's really important just to drop in, say hi, how are you really doing, you know? So I think that's really important. And that's random people. Like when I was in the mental hospital, I told some people and they would send me a text every day saying, I miss you, we're thinking of you. Like my friends at the boarding school would always, they would try to call the mental hospital, but they couldn't get patched through. Just support your friends, support your family. It's really important.
That actually kind of leads us into one of our other questions was, how can someone support a loved one that's suffering from depression?
That's a really good question, and not a lot of people talk about it. It's really important to communicate and ask them. Like every day my mom would be like, how are you feeling today? Like scale of 1 to 10. And it's that simple. And sometimes it would change throughout the day. And so I'd tell her, I'm feeling a 2 right now. And then later we would do something and I would be feeling a 10. It's important to always include them. It's easy to be like, oh, they don't want to go out because they're depressed. Invite them. Insist they come out with you. It's really important to get people out on their feet and out in public. It's exhausting. I know it is, but I always felt better. And just to see nature, be outside, get sunshine. it's what everyone tells you, but it helps. And talking to them about how they feel is really, really important, because I felt at some points that no one understood what I was going through. But how could they understand if I don't tell them? It's really important to communicate how you're feeling, even though it's exhausting and no one wants to. You just want to be understood without having to talk. Also, really recommend therapy. You know, I know it's expensive, but there are free therapists out there. It saved me, I think, from myself. I just recently sent a letter to my therapist being like, thank you so much for always being there. There were weeks when I would see her every single day. Bless her heart.
I love that. Okay. If people take one thing away from this episode, what do you hope it is?
If you're going through something, it always gets better. It always, always, always gets better. And it's not going to look like it. I remember being so dark and it just felt like the nighttime all the time. It felt cloudy and mucky, like humid all the time in my brain. I think in emotions, I don't think in words. So that's what it was like in my brain. Like a dank swamp or something. Like it was terrible. And I remember being like, the sun will never, ever rise, but it always will. And I think it's so important for people to know that. And you're going to hear it a million times that the sun will rise, but you don't believe it until you see it happen. And it's not like someone flips a light switch. That's not what getting better feels like. It's you have your eyes closed and you feel warmth again, and then you open your eyes and it's getting brighter. So
beautiful.
Thank you.
And our final question for you, Drew, which we will be asking everyone in our interviews, is why do you think we have such a large mental health crisis today?
Oh, wow. I think it's the same reason why we're having such a crisis period, is because there's such a stigma around it. No one's talking about it the way they should be. And that's why this podcast is so important. That's why talking about things with people is so important. Communication is a big part of the human existence and experience. And no one's talking about it, you know? So if we just talk about it, have some empathy, we can solve it.
Lovely!
All right, Drew, thank you so much for talking to us. We loved hearing your story. It's so important that we talk about mental health, and it's so important that we talk about depression, because it is a mental illness that affects so many people.
We just wanted to say how much we appreciate you for opening up to us. It was beyond amazing what you did and how many people you're going to help.
And with that, I think that is the end of this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, make sure to leave us a review. We would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions for us or for Drew, you can email us, 1in5podcast@gmail.com, or shoot us a quick DM. Our Instagram is @1in5pod, and make sure to follow to keep up with everything podcast related.
Later this week, Drew will be taking over our Instagram, which we are so excited for them to do. You can ask them any questions you may have about depression or anxiety or any of the experiences you heard about in this episode.
All right, guys, with that is the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to tune in next Monday. We are so excited to bring you a new episode every single week.
Bye, guys!
Bye!